Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Sermon for today, the 13th Sunday after Trinity, the Great Commandment, is written by Archbishop John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the ACC. He first gave this September 6, 1998. The beginning of every service of Holy Communion is supposed to convince you that you are a sinner who needs God's forgiveness, a sinner who needs God's help. Some Sundays we hear the Ten Commandments. Most Sundays we hear Jesus' summary of the law. In either case, the point is the same. These are God's moral standards. I have not lived up to them. I am in church to deal with those facts. Today's gospel is the story of a man who bears the summary of the law, who hears the summary of the law and looks for a way to weasel himself out of it. Must be a lawyer. Jesus tells him to love God and love his neighbor. So he tries to get Jesus to define neighbor as narrowly as possible. He wants to know the minimum he needs to do to keep on God's good side. He wants Jesus to tell him how he can slide by with as little effort as possible. St. Luke says the man wanted to justify himself. He wanted Jesus to tell him that he was doing fine and that he had certainly earned his way into heaven already and that he didn't need to change his ways one bit. We may possibly have known people who look at things that way. Jesus does not spare him at all. He tells him a story which indicates that anybody who needs you to help him is a person you should help. To love your neighbor is to help him, to do what is best for him. Jesus places no comforting limitations on the obligation to love, such as, you only need to help people you approve of, or you only need to be good people who are good to you. The hero of Jesus' story is a Samaritan. The people who were listening to Jesus hated Samaritans. The negative examples of the story are a priest and a Levite. The people listening to Jesus would have thought a priest and a Levite were the most righteous and godly people of all. When we come up against Jesus, our normal ways of thinking about things are usually not very helpful. In any event, the parable of the Good Shepherd fleshes out what the summary of the law means. As far as my own situation is concerned, the parable only makes things worse. I might convince myself in the abstract that I love my neighbor, but I have to admit I am not always up to the kind of absolute and universal commitment the Samaritan displayed toward the mugging victim. So if that is what God demands, where does it leave me? As is the case so often, St. Paul comes to the rescue. In today's epistle, he tells us that God made promises to Abraham, then God gave the Old Testament law to Moses, about 430 years after Abraham. Love God and love your neighbor is the summary of that law. People got the idea that the coming of the law put conditions on God's promises to Abraham. Now his people would receive the promises only if they kept the law. St. Paul says that is not so. A promise with any conditions on it is not a promise. If I promise you today that I'll take you to dinner for your birthday next week, and then tomorrow I say I'll take you out to dinner only if you are nice to me, then my invitation is not a promise anymore. It becomes a deal. A quid pro quo arrangement. St. Paul says that when God makes a promise, he keeps the promise. The purpose of the law is not to make God's promise conditional. The purpose of the law and the summary of the law is to put us exactly where we found ourselves after we examined the parable of the Good Samaritan. The purpose of the law is to show us that we cannot keep it, and that we need God's forgiveness and His help. Listen to St. Paul's last words to us today. First of all, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That means that everybody is a sinner. Nobody lives up to the example of the Good Samaritan all the time. And God knows all that perfectly well. So we can relax. We don't need to waste a lot of energy pretending we are perfect. Then he says that after you admit that you are a sinner, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That verse is full of good things. God's specific promise to Abraham was that he would have land and descendants, a never-ending relationship to God in both space and time. Jesus is the seed of Abraham, his lineal, biological descendant. So we get in on the promises by being baptized into Jesus' body. We receive God's promise to be with us forever. Faith in Jesus Christ means accepting the forgivenesses He brought for us on the cross. His blood is what makes us right with God, not our feeble attempts to pretend that we really do love our neighbors. If we can accept what Jesus has done for us already, then we have a new and better motivation for trying to do what is best for other people. We can try to love out of gratitude to God, not out of fear. Jesus told the man who wanted to justify himself to do what the Samaritan did. He tells us the same thing with the guarantee that He will forgive us when we don't do it. Or put another way, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under His table, but He is the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as His most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.